Hey guys, we are Emma and Jessica, and welcome to our podcast, The MSR Files, an X-Files podcast. In this episode, we're going to go over One Breath. We'll go through it scene by scene and discuss while interjecting with our own thoughts. Hope you enjoy.
So this one was written by Glenn Morgan and James Wong and directed by R.W. Goodwin. We open up with a really grainy shot of some clouds. And then, as much as I love Morgan and Wong's writing, I fucking hate this start. So we get this really cheesy story. It's like a monologue going over like this footage of Dana when she was a little... I don't want to call her Dana. It's because our mom's calling her Dana. But Scully, when she was a little girl, playing with her... bullers, and basically the gist of it is they were out shooting like cans, and then they found a snake and they all decided to start shooting the snake, which I feel like it was
like what the fuck,
Bill Jr.'s idea, which says a lot because he's an absolute cunt. So they end up killing the snake, and then Dana gets really upset about it and holds it, wanting it to bring it back to life, and she says as if like sheer human will would bring it back to life, but it died in her hands. Funnily enough, and I'm not gonna lie, this story kind of makes me hate Scully a little bit, because I'm like, why would you ever think it was a good idea to kill an animal? Like, I don't get these kids that think that's fun when they're little. Like, I never had that in me. Like, I don't know,
just harm another living thing.
Yeah, I just always had a respect for everything around me. I just think that's fucking weird how there's some kids.
It is very weird. Very weird.
That's just me though. So then we cut to Maggie and Mulder that are sitting down, and Mulder tells her it's too soon, Mrs. Scully. We can't give up. And Maggie says, that day in the woods, I felt for my daughter, but at this moment, I know how my daughter felt. Clearly, I've drank too much wine already.
Or deep in our cups.
Yeah. So then the door opens and Mrs. Scully stands up, and then a guy comes over carrying something, and they walk over and he lifts the cover of this thing, and it's basically a tombstone. It says Dana Catherine Scully on it, 1964 to 1994. Loving daughter and friend, the spirit is the truth, John 5:07. And like Mulder looks at it and turns away, like he cannot deal.
Yeah, he can't hack it.
And I agree with him. It's far too soon, Maggie.
Like, it's not been that long.
Yeah, like calm down, Maggie. She's really just to bury another family member. She's like, fuck it. Maybe she got two for one with fucking her husband and daughter.
She got a 50% off coupon for the next one.
Oh dear. Then we cut to Mulder's apartment, and we see Mulder's cluttered desk, and it's got a file on it, like an X-File. I assume it's Scully's case. And then we see like the screen grab from the CCTV footage of her in the boot or in the trunk of the car that we saw in Ascension. Was that we saw in, I think?
Yes.
And then camera pans over to Mulder, and you can hear that he's listening to it. He's watching porn and he keeps rewinding it. And I'm just like, this bit.
It's fucking weirdo.
He's just like sitting, lounging, watching porn. Like, who does that? So fucking weird. So fucking weird. So.
He's a weird little dude.
So then the phone rings, and then we cut to Northeast Georgetown Medical Center in Washington, D.C. And then we see Mulder like running through the halls. And then someone tries to stop him, but listen, no one's stopping him.
No one's stopping this boy.
And he gets told you can't go in there, but he breaks free from her hold and just runs to Scully's bedside. And like, she's hooked up to so many machines. Her like eyes are taped down and everything. Like, it's horrible. Like, I would hate to see someone I loved like that. And Maggie's sitting there as well, and Mulder kicks off. He's like, who brought her here? How did she get here? And then like the nurse is like, sir, please calm your shit.
Yeah.
And then he's still demanding, like, how did you get here? While Maggie's just like sitting there looking distraught. And I'm like, one, like, him going feral is hot as hell.
Oh yeah,
but
definitely.
Two,
is.
It's the last thing Maggie needs. Yes. Like, could you imagine you're at your daughter's bed, she's like an inch away from death, and then there's some guy going fucking psycho. Yeah. You're just like, dude.
Like, calm down.
So a nurse tells him that Scully was in the condition when she arrived, and then tells him to step outside so that Dr. Daly can maybe talk to him. And then Mulder just like points to the guy and is like, is he Daly? And then starts like demanding more stuff from him. And Dr. Daly tells him to settle down. But Mulder just wants to know who brought her in. He says, was it paramedics, FBI, military? Answer me now. And yeah, he's just going crazy. He's like, you're telling me she just appeared?
Yeah.
And then he's like demanding to know who did it to her. And it's so good. He's like,
it's so fucking good.
Off getting it. So
yeah.
Demanding to see our admission forms, and he wants to know who did this to her, and he wants to know what tests have been done, blah, 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 blah. And then he kind of gets dragged off by a couple of, I don't even know who's dragging him. I wasn't really paying attention to them. I was just paying attention to him, but he gets like dragged away. Yeah. And he's like saying, if you're hiding anything, I swear I'll do anything, whatever it takes. I will find out what they did to her.
So fucking good.
So then we cut to Dr. Daly's office. And he's looking at Scully's chart, and Mulder is there with Maggie. He basically says that they've got Scully under a critical condition, and she's comatosed. She's got complete unawareness of herself and her environment. Blah, blah, blah. Like, there's no responses to external stimuli. And he says, like, he's sorry, but no one can determine how she arrived at the hospital and, like, who attended to her when she first came.
That's a bit sketch, though, eh? Like, just no idea, yeah. Like...
I'm just like, how did you come into the hospital and no one fucking know?
Yeah. It's pretty... And, like, yeah.
So, and they have, like, no clue what her previous treatment was or anything. And he says that because of the absence of her medical history, he's at a loss for a prognosis. And he can't determine with certainty how long she's been in this state. Maggie asks, not asks, she, like, says, you haven't told us why she's like this. And he's just like, we don't know.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
There's no indications of acute injuries or traumatic or non-traumatic. And he can't find any signs of degenerative or metabolic disorders. And he says, like, they've done every test they possibly could. And Mulder says he'd like her examined for trace evidence. And then the doctor says, like, basically she's been bathed and cleaned since she got here. So there's not going to be anything there.
Yeah.
And then he says there's a situation where that he doesn't know if they're aware of, and that the FBI has notified the hospital of Scully's living will. And Maggie asks what it says. And the doctor says that, because Scully's unconscious and can't say it for herself, he's like, well, she was a doctor. And he says her criteria for terminating life support is quite specific. She states that if her Glasgow outcome skills lists her, and then like he gets interrupted by Mulder, and Mulder says she doesn't want to live in this condition. And shout out to the Glasgow coma scale that was invented in Glasgow.
Nice.
Basically the scale that the different number of tests they do to basically like determine how deep of a coma you're in.
Okay.
The Glasgow, I can't remember the exact name of it, but also note that he's like he says Glasgow, and I'm like, it's fucking Glasgow, mate.
Yeah, because I was thinking that when I was watching it, I was like, I don't ever remember him saying Glasgow, and I'm like, oh yeah, because it'll be like Glasgow or something.
Yeah, I don't think he does the gow bit, which is good. I think okay. He still says go, but it's like Glasgow. He says
Glasgow. Like, that's why, because he doesn't pronounce it properly.
Yeah, the doctor points out that Mulder signed the will as our witness. Then we cut to Scully's hospital bed, and then we see a woman standing over her, and she's holding a crystal, which I'm sure will do a whole fucking lot. Honestly, like, Mulder's attitude towards Melissa, it would be like me. Like, I'd have the exact same reaction, yeah. But I just wouldn't be outspoken about it. But I, like, in my head, I'd just be like, fucking eye roll. Sorry if you believe in crystals and shit, but just name for me. So basically, Melissa, who's standing over Scully's bed, says, I've been told not to call you Fox. Mulder asks by who, and Melissa says, Dana, just now. And Mulder's like, Dana just talked to you? And then he looks at our like machines, and he's like, if she had talked, the EEG would have moved. Melissa laughs at him and then says her soul is here. And then Maggie walks over, and Melissa says, hi, Mom. And Maggie says, I'm glad you could come. Also, make sure, like, Melissa's never been mentioned before, has she? Only brothers up until this moment.
Yeah.
So I wonder why they decided to bring a woman in rather than have one of our brothers in there. Mulder's like, you're Scully's sister. Melissa says that Dana's choosing whether to remain or move on. And I'm just like, can you not right now?
Yeah.
This boy is emotional as it is.
And not from the mother either.
Yeah, exactly. And she, like, hovers her hands over Scully, and like Maggie walks away. She's like, I cannot be fucked with this shit.
She's like, I cannot be here for this.
And then Melissa tells Mulder that there's too many M's, man. Melissa tells Mulder that you can feel her, and then like takes his hand, and places like his hands to hover like over Scully just like she's doing. And then we cut to like Scully inside her head, and she's sitting in a rowboat like on a lake, and she's like the boat's tied to the dock, and on the dock we see Mulder and Melissa with a nurse in the background, and this bitch is literally standing with his arms folded on this dock. I was like, why would you choose that that stance to be there? Like, he's like just looks so fed up and not wanting to be there while she's on this little boat. So I'm like, is that how Scully sees Mulder in her head? Basically, Mulder gives up and he's like, she's not here. And Melissa says, no, your anger and your fear is blocking her. It's blocking any positive emotions for her she needs to feel. And then Mulder's just like, I need to do more than just wave my hands in there, and storms off. So then we cut to Mulder's apartment, and Mulder takes some masking tape and puts a wee X on the window and shines his lamp on it. And then like he sits down and like you see the passage of time as he's impatiently waiting for like a response, and he's like bouncing his basketball and all this shit before he finally goes to sleep. And then in the morning he wakes up and goes to get the newspaper at his door, and he unwraps it and looks through it, and there's obviously no messages or anything for him from X. So he goes over to the window and takes off the X that he'd made with the tape, and then like slams his fist against the table. I'm just like, okay then, pal. So then we cut to Northeast Georgetown Medical Center, Washington DC again. So Fro Hickey comes in with like a tux on so and carrying flowers. It's just like, okay dude, like who goes to visit someone in the hospital like that?
Like a tux, flowers here,
such a
like
weird
a tux?
Choice, especially when she's in a coma. I'm like, dude,
like she can't see
maybe
it.
Like that's the only good clothes he's got.
Oh, maybe
like either it's his weird clothes or that, and that's
yeah
it.
Seems like it very well could be.
So a nurse asks if she can help him, and he says he's looking for Scully. And then Mulder like hears his voice and looks up, and he's like, Fro Hickey? He goes over to them and he looks like, he just looks sad to see Scully like that. And he takes a look at the chart and then says to Mulder, like, this looks weird. So then we cut to the lone gunman's office, and we see Byers is sitting down looking at the chart, and the rest of the lone gunmen are there. Byers says, good work sneaking this out. And Froggy says, stuck him down my pants. And then Mulder comments that there's plenty of room down there.
Also, like, it's their chart that you say, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, her medical chart that they need to treat her, just stealing it
yep
from the hospital. Like,
yep
what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, they'll have it on a database somewhere.
Yeah.
And then Langley comments, like, well, you look down there, Mulder. It's just a very weird interaction. I'm like, Scully's literally fucking dying.
Exactly.
Like, can we focus?
Like, boys, this is not the time.
And then Langley says that Mulder's welcome to come over on Saturday night, and that they're hopping on the internet to nitpick the scientific inaccuracies of Earth 2. And Mulder says he's doing his laundry that night. So Byers, who's actually doing some real fucking work, says the chart shows abnormal protein chains in the blood. The amino acid sequence is in a combination, I've never seen before. He says that he's downloaded Scully's medical data to the newest lone gunman. Froehike says he's nicknamed the Thinker. Byers says that he's a hacking genius. So then they go on the computer and there's like a wee, I don't even know what you'd call it, like a wee graphic thing of Nixon. And you see like a computer scanning the DNA information. Basically, the lone gunman read it and they look concerned by it. And Mulder's like, well, what's going on? And Byers says, the Thinker reports the protein chains are a result of branched DNA. Mulder asks, like, what the fuck's that? And Langley says, the cutting edge of genetic engineering.
Ooh.
And Byers quips in that it's a biological equivalent of silicon microchip. And Langley says, this is the way beyond cutting edge. This technology is 50 years down the line. And Mulder asks what it's used for. Froggy says, could be a tracking system. And Byers says, it's It's in development anyway, stages of biological marker. And Mulder's like, so basically a high-tech identity card. And Langley says, or something as insidious as grafting a human into something inhuman. Then the computer beeps and Byers is like, good for these gentlemen, but all for naught. And then he points to the data map. And then he says, the branched DNA is inactive. It's a waste product. Because whoever was experimenting on Scully is finished. Now it's nothing more than a biological poison, which is not what you want to hear.
Ooh.
Mulder asks if she'll live. I'm just like, oh, baby. They basically look at him like, nope. And Barth says her immune system has been decimated, and he doubts even a healthy human body would be able to fight it. And then he says there's nothing you can do. Which is not
great
what Mulder wants to hear.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. So, thanks, besties.
Yeah. So then we cut back to the hospital and we see, like, in Scully's head again, there is now a nurse standing on the shore and she's like, Dana, honey. She's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I know I can hear you. My name's Nurse Owens. I'm here to take care of you, to watch over you, help you find your way home. And then we see, like, in real life, Owens is standing over Scully, whispering to her. She says, I know you're far away from home tonight and that where you are is peaceful. It would be nice to stay, but you must leave here only when it's time. And she puts her hand on Scully's head, and then Mulder walks in, and then she says, I'll be here if you need me, dear, and gives her a kiss on the forehead, and then walks away. And let's note that Mulder doesn't acknowledge her. For good reason.
Yeah.
So then a nurse comes in and says, excuse me, sir, I'm going to have to take some blood. And as she's going to take the blood, Mulder notices, like, a man that's hovering over an old lady in the next bed. And when she looks at him, like, the guy looks away, all shifty.
Yeah. Bit sus.
Nurse puts down the vial of blood that she's just taken, and then the old lady that's next to them has flatlined. So they all rush over to her to deal with her. Mulder notices that the vial of blood is gone, so he follows the guy, this sus-looking guy. Yeah. In the overcoat, basically sees him, like, walking down the hall, and Mulder, like, shouts after him, and the guy starts running, so Mulder runs after him, and then there's this whole chase shit, like, through the fucking corridors. I think the guy goes in an elevator, doesn't he? And, like, Mulder runs down the stairs. Anyway, they end up in a car park, underground parking, whatever it is, and Mulder's, like, running after him as he's taking out his gun. Then X grabs him and slams him against the wall. As in Mulder, not the guy. And then he's like, didn't expect to see you here until after visit hours. So I'm just like, okay, X. Mulder tells him about the guy that took the blood, and X tells him to forget about him. Mulder demands that he gets his gun out of his face, and he says basically his gun is in his face to stress his insistence that he stop searching for, like, what happened to his partner. And then Mulder's just like, you ignore my call and then you expect me to do what you say? He's like, I called for help twice and nothing, not a fuck you, what do you want? Nothing. Or whatever the quote
is.
Only to the TikToks of that.
Yeah. Call for help twice.
Oh, that's so good. Then X, like, points out that he got Deep Throat killed and Scully, and it's not gonna happen to him. Mulder asks what he's talking about, and X says, you're not supposed to know, that's the point. Mulder says he owes Scully more than just sitting around, and X says, she was a good soldier, Mulder, but there's nothing you can do to bring her back. And then Mulder points out, like, she's not dead. X, I'm like, you're pretty cool and suave, but at the same time you're a bit of a dick.
Coming out right, we cunt.
He calls him a schoolboy, basically, and says he has no idea. Mulder asks him to tell him then, and, like, they're both, like, staring each other down. And X goes on to this spiel, like, I used to be you, I was where you are now, but you're not me, Mulder. I don't think you have the heart. Walk away, grieve for Scully, and then never look back. You'll be able to live your life. Sorry, live with yourself on the day that you die. And I just saw a TikTok today that I don't know if it's true, but someone, like, it said, your body can only experience grief for 12 minutes, is it? Was it grief or sadness? I can't remember. Like, it's like 12 minutes. And it's like, after that, it's just self-inflicted. And I was just like, I wonder if that's true or not.
Oh, yeah.
So, need to Google that tonight.
Yeah, something to ponder.
Yeah.
That could be my Wikipedia, my reading tomorrow.
Yeah. Mulder seems to distract X, or he gets distracted by something, and he breaks away from him, and then starts chasing the overcoat guy again, and he shouts federal agent, and then kind of stalks through him again. They end up in, like, a laundry room. It's just this big whole thing. It goes on for far too long. And Mulder basically catches the guy and asks him to put his hands behind his head, and then he goes over to, like, cuff the guy, and he's like, puts his hand in his pocket and pulls out the vial of blood and asks the guy to face him, and he asks who wants this, and the guy basically just blanks him. So Mulder tries to take him away, like, to arrest him, and basically the guy gets away from him again because Mulder's so fucking shit.
Yeah.
he grabs like a car or something, does he not, and, like, slams it into him.
It's strange.
And then, like, hits him in the ring, and it's just like, dude, you're not doing great. So Mulder basically drops his gun and the blood, and then X comes up. Like, he breaks the guy's arm, doesn't he? And then he, like, shoots him in the arm. What happened? Oh my gosh, I didn't write enough notes. Because I was like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. That's all you really need.
Basically,
to know,
X shoots the guy, and then he goes over to Mulder and is like, this is what it takes, blah, blah, blah. He's like, this is what it takes to know the truth, Agent Mulder. You want to know what I know? And he, like, walks over and, like, straight up, like, fucking assassinates the guy, and then tells Mulder he'll deal with it. Then we cut back to the hospital, like, inside the hospital, and Margaret, Margaret, Maggie, Melissa, and Mulder are all sitting with the doctor. Well, Mulder's actually like pacing the floor, but they're sitting, and Dr. Daly is talking about discontinuing the respirator that Scully's on, and he points out that Karen and Quinlan lived for 9 years after they took her off the life support, like the ventilation. But he says, like, I do not think this will be the case for Scully.
No!
Melissa asks, is she below the criteria established in her will? And Mulder's like, possible branch DNA can be treated with designer antibiotics. And Dr. Daly's like, listen, brah, you're not a doctor.
Yeah.
Don't know what the fuck you think you're talking about. Yeah. Or where you came up with this shit, because I don't have a clue what you're talking about. So just sit down and shut up.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
You could try to do your job and some guy's like, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
I know that feeling well.
Yeah. But to be fair, Mulder does have a point, because he has looked into it. So why can't the doctors see this? So I guess because they're not into all this conspiracy stuff.
That is true, yeah. That's a good point.
Mulder points out that the doctors never provide an answer as to why she's here or what's wrong with her, and that she needs to be studied. And then Melissa points out that she is not a piece of evidence. And Mulder says she's here because of unnatural circumstances. And Melissa says she's dying. That's perfectly natural. We hide people in rooms because we don't want to look at death. We have machines prolong a life that shouldn't, that should end. That's much more unnatural circumstances than any cause of her death.
Like, if that was my sister, I'd be like, do everything though to save her. Instead of being like, oh, she's dying.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know though, because this, I struggle with. I remember I watched a Lee Theroux documentary about this, like people keeping people alive for longer. It's like,
yeah,
what's right, what's not right. Yeah. But I said to my family, give me a year, and they're like, that's a bit long, is it not? I was like, but nah, but on the Lee Theroux thing, there was a guy that miraculously like came out of, like, they thought he was brain dead and that's him gone, and he woke up and fucking recovered.
Yeah.
So I'm like, give me a year. And I'm like, but after that, pull the fucking plug. Yeah. But I was like, but also do not put me in charge of your end of life care. I was like, because I will not pull the plug, because I am that fucking idiot that's always like, it's going to turn. Like, my luck's going to turn.
Yep.
Everything's going to be okay. That's why I'm a lousy gambler. And I would just be like, they're going to wake up.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be able to pull the plug. I don't have it in me. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to go on like that for forever. So I get what Melissa's saying.
Yeah. And I would think until the doctors could give me a specific reason of why she's in this state, because they haven't yet, I would not be doing anything. But she's just like, she's dying.
Yeah, well, she's just arrived at the hospital. I feel like it's all a little bit too soon. Like,
it is,
a fucking week at least.
Aye, like she just arrived the day before, that day.
Yeah. I'm like, give it a week or a month or something. Let's kill our debts. Yeah, they've immediately been like, oh, let's give up. I'm just like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that deal's about to go off on the tombstone. Maggie's like, come on.
Like, y'all need to get it.
I'm not going
to
give a discount. Get this bitch in the ground.
I do see both sides of it.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, at the same time, again, pacing's never great in the X-Files, so.
Yeah.
I feel like it's far too rushed for how much time has actually passed. Yeah.
They could have drawn this out a lot longer, like the whole abduction thing, and given Gillian an actual break to enjoy time with her fucking daughter rather than rushing her back to work.
Yeah, coming back the day after, I would be like, get right to fuck.
So Mulder says that's very politically correct, and Melissa says it's very human. She loves Scully and she knows what's right. And Maggie points out that Dana's already made her decision, and she calls him Fox because she will never call him Mulder. She's like, listen, your name's Fox. Get over it.
I'm calling my son-in-law my first name.
Yeah. She's like, you and Dana had a friendship built on respect. Now, in the last year, and then, like, she's almost crying. I'm so sad. She's like, in the last year, I've lost my husband, and God knows I don't want to lose my baby girl. She calls her a baby girl. But like you, I have always respected her.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, she goes to leave and she says, this is a moment for the family, but you can join us if you want. And then Mulder, like, shakes his head and is like, we can't deal. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do it either. I would not be able to stand there and watch them pull the plug. So then we cut back to Scully and we're inside our head with Nurse Owen standing on the dock, and the rope that was on the dock, like, she's drifted right away. It's pulling on the rope and it snaps all of a sudden. And then she's like drifting away. So then we cut to ADA Skinner's office. ADA? I was thinking of Assistant District Attorney.
Yeah.
Assistant Director Skinner's office. And we see CSM, old Dry Lips.
Old Dry Lips.
throw a document on Skinner's desk, and then he picks up his cigarettes, and Skinner, or first he says, read it, it's all there. If you're having trouble sitting on Mulder, Skinner, I'm sure you know we'd have no trouble. And I'm like, who does Skinner think these people are?
I know, just to let them do all
like,
this shit.
I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand. So then he puts the cigarette in his mouth and goes to light it, and Skinner's like, and then points to a little sign. No, he doesn't point to us. Does he point to a sign, or does he bring the sign out of his drawer? He points to the sign? Having the Mandela effect here.
That is a good point. I'm just trying to think.
Or the Mandela effect.
Points to it.
Fuck, I can't remember. One of the two. And he thinks this is going to stop him, but he's just like, and like lights his cigarette anyway.
Yeah, he's like,
I don't give
you.
A fuck about your little sign. But he literally takes two draws of the cigarette, as always, and then like stubs out in the ashtray on Skinner's desk, and then leaves. But he leaves through like that little door at the far end, and then Mulder knocks on the door, like the main entrance, and comes in there. And Skinner tells him to sit down and says that he called him in because of the rumours about an incident at the hospital. And Mulder says, is this about the tooth that was found in the cafeteria jello? And Skinner's just like, I swear to God, boy. He's like, so the rumour has you involved in the laundry room. And Mulder's like, nope. And then he says, a man was executed. And Mulder's like, I was with Scully. Skinner points out that there was traces of Scully's blood found at the scene. Mulder asks for the police report, and Skinner says there is no police report. So again, like, why are you involved in all this shady shit, Skinner?
Yeah.
And he says there's no body. So I'm like, if there's no body, there's no fucking crime, mate. Because where's the murder if you don't have a dead guy? But Skinner's like, you know that. And Mulder says, since I am unfamiliar with any such incident, sir, no. How would I know that? And then Skinner's like, knock it off! And I'm just like, this is so son and dad.
Like,
this is just being facetious with your parents and pushing them to the mat. And then Mulder's like, how does it feel? Constant denial of everything. Questions answered with questions. And Mulder has a point here because, honestly, Skinner's been jerking him around for ages.
Mm-hmm.
Skinner demands to know what happened. And Mulder points to the cigarette and's like, him, that's what happened. And then calls him Cancer Man, which I really don't like. I prefer Cigarette Smoking Man.
Ah, yeah. Cancer it's weird Man. That... That's his name, like, yeah. as a character, and they all call him, like, Cancer Man. I'm like, why have two different names?
Yeah, and he basically says he's responsible for what happened to Scully. Skinner asks him how he knows that, and Mulder's like, it's a rumour. Who is he? And Mulder goes to say, like, I don't know what he's going to say, like, none of your business or something, I don't know, or it's not his job to question it. And then Mulder's like, oh, you can have it all. You can have my badge. You can have the X-Files. Just tell me where he is. Skinner's like, then what? He sleeps with the fishes? We're not the mafia agent, Mulder, which I quite like that line. And he's like, I know it's easy to forget about, but we work for the Department of Justice. That shouldn't be easy to forget about. That should be the number one thing on your mind. Not fucking running around doing your own shit. Dealing with shady government people, honestly. So Mulder's like, that's what I want as injustice. So Skinner says that Agent Scully was a fine officer. More than that, he liked her. And I'm like, dude, you're in love with her. Just fucking he says he respected her. We all know the field we play on, and we all know what can happen in the course of a game. If you were unprepared for all the potentials, then you shouldn't have stepped on the field. So then, like, Mulder goes away, like, to walk out, and then he comes back and says, what if I knew the potential consequences, but I never told her? And he's got this, like, a little cute star going on.
Yeah.
And then Mulder says, then you're as much to blame for her condition as the Cancer Man. And Mulder just walks out. And what the fuck, Skinner?
Exactly.
What the fuck, Walter Skinner? Like, why would you add salt to the wound?
I know.
Like,
kick a man while he's down.
Insult to injury. Yeah, like, don't kick him while he's down. Like, he's already fucking distraught and you're just being a dick. I'm like, what is the need?
There is no need. They were so mean to him in this episode.
Yeah, they really were. I'm just like, why are you all fucking, like, just... He's like, taking shot after shot. I'm like, poor guy.
I think the poor guy's been through it all.
So, yeah, that's what I had.
So you're not finished.
Yeah.
So, we are back in Scully's mind, and this time she's lying on a table in a white dress, like, eyes closed, looks like she's sleeping. All the walls around her are white, except from one, which is, like, this... like, dark, just void of nothingness. But through this void walks her dad, and he's dressed like it is, like, uniform and stuff. And he's talking to her about how, you know, like, kids grow up so fast, and he didn't listen to it because life went at, like, a proper place, yada yada yada. Basically, up until he understood that he'd never see it again. And then he says, then my life felt as if it had been the length of one breath, one heartbeat. He said the thing! And he said the end of the episode.
Did the Leo DiCaprio...
Yeah. I can't whistle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember how he does it.
Insert meme here.
We all know what we mean.
Yeah. And he says, I never knew how much I loved my daughter until I could never tell her. At that moment, I would have traded every medal, every commendation, every promotion for one more second with you. We'll be together soon, Starbuck, but not now, soon. And I'm just like, oh, it's quite, oh.
I'm like, mate, didn't you die? Like, fuck off out of the picture, because I really can't stand you.
Yeah, he was not great character, but at the same time, like, that just dialogue, I'm just like, oh, it's quite nice. Aww. Maybe redeemed him just a wee bit, but yeah.
No.
So yeah, so he walks back, he walks away and leaves her alone, and we switch to Nurse Owens, who is like standing over Scully again, and she leans in and whispers, Dana, I know death is at arm's reach tonight, but Dana, your time is not over.
Nurse Owens is a real MVP.
He is. I love Nurse Owens. She's just got like such a comforting aura to her. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, she has.
Love it.
If I fell down and scraped my knee when I was a child,
yeah,
this is the woman I'd want to pick me up. Yeah.
Yep.
She's the best.
In the hospital cafeteria, Mulder is eating, well, I would say they're eating lunch, but Mulder is just sitting with like his head in his hands. And yeah. Melissa's like having her tea, steeping her tea or something. She's like, you know, Fox, sorry, Mulder. So you can spend the rest of your life finding every person who's responsible and it's still not going to bring her back. Whoever did this to her has an equal horror coming to them. And he's just like, including myself. And I'm like, oh, he takes the blame. Oh. And Melissa just like gives him a look. And then just like weirdly, a woman comes up to him. He's like, oh, have you got any change for the cigarette machine? And then he just like half-heartedly checks his pocket. Is he like, nope. And she's just like, oh, okay. And Melissa's like, what do you mean yourself? Like, speaking about this like equal horror. And then this woman,
yeah,
the woman who asked for the change, she's just like, oh, there's a packer already here. Morley's not my brand. And she just walks away. And Mulder's just like, hulk phone. So he gets up and he pulls
if that'd be me, I'd probably wouldn't even know.
I would be like meh.
I don't care about your cigarettes.
Yeah. So he gets the packet and he unwraps it, and there's an address, and it's 900W Georgia Street, and that is written inside.
Who lives there, Emma?
Yeah, it's the cigarette smoking man's apartment.
Old dry lips.
It's a really shitty apartment. You'd think that man who had that much power would have, like, you know, a decent
yeah,
apartment.
But it shows you in the episode. What's that called again? His episode. Is it called?
Cigarette Smoking Man.
That's it. Fuck me. I cannot remember for the life of me. He shows you how much of a shitty life he has. And I'm like, if you're doing all this shady shit for the government, you would think you would at least be getting paid a lot for it. Because if you're not getting paid a lot for it, why are you doing it? Like, you're just a fucking dick.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, I'd understand if there was like money involved and it was like swayed by power and the money, but I guess it's maybe just the power trip that he's
won.
Yeah,
I think it is.
I'm
like,
why would you do all this shit if you're living this shitty little life?
Aye.
So or is he doing it to himself purposely? Is it like a self punishment?
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah,
because like Mother's dad seemed to have a lot of money and he was all involved in that shit as well, wasn't he? Yeah, so they had like a second home.
Aye. Very interesting. Whatever. Aye, so he's just like chilling. He's just chilling, watching the film. And on a table, there is an ashtray which is filled with old cigarette butts. And his gun sits on the table. And then he picks up a new cigarette and like hears a creak. And then like it just starts to get up. And then Mulder comes barging in and just like grabs him and throws him back into his chair. And he's just like, sit down. And the cigarette smoking man is just like, how'd you find me? And Mulder is just, he's losing it. He's fucking gone through it. He's like, shut up. Tonight I
just
asked
this whole
question.
Episode.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But this scene is just, it reminds me of that, I don't know what it is, just a meme or a video or whatever, where it's just like, Viva last the questions.
Oh, it's the joke, is it not?
The
it's
joke,
like, knock,
yeah.
knock. Who's
that's
there?
It, yeah.
Gestapo who? Viva last the questions.
That's what it reminds me of, and it just cracks. Because it was that one TikTok I saw where, like, it was the two dinosaurs, like, toy dinosaurs. Just whacks it, the other one down the stairs, and he's just like, Viva last the questions.
Brilliant.
And it's the funniest fucking thing to me. He just, like, yeets it down the stairs. It's fucking brilliant. Anyway, Mulder's like, you're going to answer me, you son of a bitch. And then old Drylips drops like this fucking baller line. He's like, don't try and threaten me, Mulder. I've watched presidents die. And you're like, oh, shit.
But I don't get that. It's like,
I don't get it either.
He said, I killed presidents. But it's like, I watched presidents die.
Yes.
And?
Yeah.
Maybe that insinuates that he did kill them or arrange their deaths. But I'm just like, watching it happen isn't the same as doing it.
Yeah.
Like, the whole fucking world watched JFK die. Like, yeah. None to brag about.
I think, because in Musings of a Cigarette Smoking Man, I've only watched it once, and it was that long ago, like, over about 15 years ago, but was he not, like, one of the, or, like, going to be an assassinator for JFK?
Yeah, I'm sure that's, like, part of the plot. And did he not do... Is it not supposed to be Martin Luther King he's a part of as well?
Aye.
Obviously, that's not precedent, but I'm just saying, is it not something to... I don't know. I've never watched it again either.
No.
I remember seeing Kathy G tweet the other week that she was going to rewatch it and she fell asleep. And I was like, yep, felt that.
Yeah. So I think that... I mean, knowing what we know now, having watched it all, like, it does feel kind of like, oh, shit. But at the same time, it's just like, okay, not knowing anything, you're just like, and...
Yeah.
Like, okay, so is everybody else.
Good for you, bruh.
Yes. I'd be like, oh, we watched it too. Yeah. Wild, right? So he starts to, like, put a cigarette in his mouth and Mulder just, like, bitch slaps it out of his hand. And
yes, just brilliant. Like, what the fuck?
And Mulder's just like, why her? Why her and not me? And just... So good.
So good.
But yeah, old Dry Lips is just... doesn't reply to him. He's just like... Still looking at him like, bro, what the fuck? Mulder's screaming at him to answer him, and old Dry Lips just like, I like you. I like her too. That's why she was returned to you. And I'm like, this is not the same, bro.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for like experimenting on her and shit and giving her cancer. We'll soon find out.
Yeah.
But oh yeah, you brought her back, so it's all good.
Yeah. Just water under the bridge. Like bygones be bygones.
Yeah.
This fucking guy. Yeah, so Mulder's like leaning in and he's like, nah, you should be the one to die. And old Dry Lips is just like, he's got his composure back. He's like, I'm back to, he's like, you know, indifferent, like confidence. Whereas Mulder is just like falling apart. And old Dry Lips is just like, why? Look at me. No wife, no family, some power. I think I have a lot more power than some power. And he says that I'm in the game because I believe what I'm doing is right. And Mulder's like, who are you to decide what's right? And old Dry Lips is like, who are you? If people were to know the things I know, it would fall apart. I told Skinner you shot the man at the hospital, but I didn't really believe it. And here you are with a gun to my head. I have more respect for you, Mulder. You're becoming a player. You can kill me now, but you'll never know the truth. And like Mulder goes to like squeeze the trigger, but just doesn't release it or anything. I think he like takes the finger off. And old Dry Lips is like, and that's why I'll win. He's like, don't worry, this'll be our little secret. Like, we wouldn't want others to start rumors. And at this point, I was like, I fucking hate this guy. He's so fucking annoying. So yeah, and he just like lights another cigarette and takes a drag, and Mulder's just like watches on, just like, ugh, disgusted.
He's literally an old man. Like, just fucking pistol whip him at least.
Like,
why are you so scared of Mulder?
Yeah,
so annoying.
We cut to the X-Files office. Mulder is sitting at his computer. He's typing up his letter of resignation, and he clicks a button to print it out. And he starts packing up. Well, it cuts, like, fades and cuts again to a wee bit later. And he's packing up his office, and Skinner walks in, and he says that when I started out, this is where they kept the copier. And Mulder's just like, at least back then, it wasn't just wasted space. And I'm like, oh, my boy! Wow, he's shame.
I'm so sorry for himself.
Yeah. So Skinner walks over to him and starts to tear up Mulder's resignation form. And he's just like, this is unacceptable. And Mulder's not bothered, he just like keeps packing up shit. And Skinner says, like, look, I know you feel responsible for Agent Scully, but I will not accept resignation and defeat as self-punishment. And that's fair enough. Like, he's trying to save Mulder from himself, basically.
Yeah. But also, if I'm quitting, like, don't tell me I'm not quitting.
Exactly.
I'm fucking quitting.
Yes. If so, yeah. I was going to say that too. On the flip side,
it's like Ross, I want to quit the gym. No, it's Chandler.
Chandler, yeah.
Chandler.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not ready to talk about that. Yeah, let's move on.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. Yeah. So on the flip side to that, if my old boss came up to me, I'm like, fuck you, I'm not going back in.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's fine. I just won't get paid for my time here. Fuck you, see you later.
Fuck this job. Wheeler Walker Jr. Have you listened to that yet?
What one?
It's like the funny country music, and it's like, fuck this job.
Oh, no. I've not seen that one. No. Oh.
I can't remember what it says after this.
Fuck this job. It's unacceptable. So Mulder says that all the forensics, the field investigations, the eyewitness accounts, to still know nothing. To lose myself and Scully, I hate what I've become. Skinner just sighs and like takes his glasses off. And he looks weird without his glasses. We don't really see that often.
I don't like him wearing his glasses.
Mm-hmm. He just looks so strange. And then he goes on to say how when he was 18, he went to Vietnam. He wasn't drafted, he enlisted, and he did it on a blind faith, and he did it because I believed it was the right thing to do. And he's like, I don't know, maybe I still do. And then he goes on to say how 3 weeks into his tour, a 10-year-old North Vietnamese boy walked into camp covered with grenades, and he blew his head off from a distance of 10 yards. And Mulder just kind of like looks at him shocked. But he's listening now. He's stopped like packing up his stuff.
But I love that we get to see this in the revival.
Yeah. I like that too, how it like just like actually went back to Skinner.
And we got a bit more... Continuation? No. It's like that, but like a different continuity, that's it.
Next file's finally happened.
Went straight to my head. Yeah. It's like for once.
Yeah.
When does it ever happen on Next Files?
Skinner goes on to say that like he lost his faith in just like not in his country or in himself, but in everything. There's no point to anything anymore. And on one night on patrol, they were all caught and everyone fell. He looked down at his body from it felt like he was outside of it and he didn't recognize it. And he watched them like strip his uniform, take his weapon, and he remained in the thick jungle, peaceful and afraid, watching my dead friends. He's watching himself. And then in the morning, the corpsman arrived and put him in a body bag. But he guesses he found a pulse and he woke up in a Saigon hospital 2 weeks later. And then Skinner goes on to say that I'm afraid to look any further beyond that experience. And he's like, wait, you to Mulder? Like, you, Mulder, you are not. Your resignation is unacceptable. And he starts to leave and Mulder's just like hits the realization, he's like, you. And like Skinner turns back to face him and Mulder says that you gave me cigarette smoking man's location. You put your life in danger.
He's like, fucking dope.
Yeah. And Skinner says that Agent Mulder, every life, every day is in danger. That's just life. So he walks out and closes the door behind them. And later on, Mulder carries the box to his car. And as he like reaches for the door, X just like jumps out and he drops the box and goes for his gun until he realizes that it's X. And X
holds motherfucker.
Yeah, surprise, motherfucker. X hands him a plane ticket and Mulder's like, but we barely know each other. I'm like, bro. And X says that he can't tell what am I saying? X says, I can't tell you why she was taken. It's too close to me. I'm giving you the men who took her. Mulder asks how, and X says, they believe you'll be out of town. They believe you have information about Scully, which is kept in your desk in your apartment. At 8:17 tonight, they'll search your apartment. They will be armed, and you'll be waiting. And Mulder's just like, waiting? Like, what do you mean? And X says, to defend yourself with terminal intensity is the only way, Mulder. The law will not punish these people. And Mulder just looks done. He just looks fed up. He's like, he's at the end of his tether. But he sighs and he takes the plane ticket. And X says that after tonight, we cannot make contact for several weeks. And he just kind of like walks off. Cut to Mulder's apartment. He is sitting alone in the dark and his gun's on the table. And he looks over towards the door and sees like a shadow underneath it. And he checks his watch and it's only 7:30. Picks up the gun as there's knocking. And outside, we see that it's Melissa. And she knocks again. She calls out to him and he opens the door, looks around. And Melissa's like, oh, sorry, like I came by, you weren't answering and your machine wasn't on. Can I come in? And Mulder eventually like leads her in. And she's just like, why is it so dark in here? And Mulder's like, because the lights aren't on. Like, okay, thanks, genius. Great input, love it. And Melissa's just like, okay. She's like, well, I just came from the hospital. Dr. Daly says that she's weakening. It could be any time. So I figured you'd want to come down and see her. And Mulder's just like, no, I can't. And Melissa says, like, well, I think that, you know, you would. And Mulder's like, yeah, I would, but I can't right now. And Melissa is like, had enough. She's like, listen, I don't have to be a psychic to see that you're in a very dark place, much darker than where my sister is. Willingly walking deeper into darkness cannot help her at all. Only the light. And Mulder, again, who has also had enough. He's just like, right, enough. He's like, you're not saying anything that is like worth anything to me.
Yeah.
And Melissa's like, well, why don't you just drop your cynicism and your paranoia and your defeat? And she says, you know, just because it's positive and good, it doesn't make it silly or trite. And why is it so much easier for you to run around trying to get even than just expressing to her how you feel? I expect more from you and Dana expects more from you. And Melissa Scully drops that bomb and she just fucking walks out the door like so, bitch. Yeah. We fucking but love it.
It's like the answer is because he's a man.
Yes, that is true.
And this is what men do.
Yes.
It's oh
yes.
The toxic fucking
it does one on.
I hate this. It's just the definition, like it still happens like films and TVs all the time now. It's like when a woman gets hurt and then the man goes to fucking like kill the guy or like beat up someone. Da, da, da. And I'm just like, oh yeah, because the answer to that violence is definitely more violence. Mm-hmm. It's like, how about you actually just be there for your fucking person you're supposed to love rather than fucking, well, trying to get even. That doesn't do anything from the person that was hurt.
Yep.
Man. Fucking man.
Man ain't shit. So, yeah, she just drops this fucking bomb. It's like a mic drop. And she just walks to the door. And she says, yeah, even if it doesn't bring her back, at least she'll know and so will you. So she storms out and leaves, and Mulder just like sits down and puts the gun back on the table. And then, at a surprising turn of events, we cut to the hospital, and Mulder is slowly walking up and pulls up a chair to sit down next to Scully's bed. So the respirator is now gone, and Mulder just kind of like watches her, and then he like puts his hand like on top of her jaw. And she says,
when he takes her hand.
He does.
Her little hand in his.
Listen, this fucking scene. Especially after like what Melissa dropped. Like he did, she got through to him a wee bit. So I'll give her that. I'll give him that even. So, yes. Mulder says, I feel, Scully, that you believe you're not ready to go. And you've always had the strength of your beliefs. I don't know if my being here will help bring you back. But I'm here. And I'm just like, what? Oh, it's so cute. No, not really cute. Cute's not the right word, but I'm just like, oh, to be loved like that. Anyway, so he's like, just like,
to be fair, not the X-Files isn't the best kind of, like, it's like we love it, but at the same time, that's not the relationship you want. It's
oh, no, unhealthy.
They never
not.
Talk to each other.
Definitely not. But yeah, but I don't know.
Shut up.
Yeah, it's Chris Carr right now. It's not gonna be that great. Actually, it wasn't even him
right
now, but
this, yeah.
Yeah, it's got his approval, so yeah.
Yeah, but nah, I love this. I love this scene.
Yeah.
In fact, I actually ghost her. Okay, it took a telling off to do it.
It did.
It's there.
Yeah, it took someone telling him to just the fucking back his shit and get buck up. Yeah. So yeah, it's a good scene. And then we cut to the clock, and it reads 8:17 p.m. He took to Mulder's apartment. It is morning, and he walks in to find it completely ransacked. And he goes to the doorway from like his living room, like to like the hallway, and just like leans up against it, like slumps down, and just starts to cry, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my man, he's stressed. He's going through
he's
it.
Through it.
Let him have a break. Just this next scene. Oh my goodness. Very not in HD. Very still 90s so, television.
Quite a few shots in this are like very grainy and horrible. It's just like, oh.
It is something else. So yeah, so in Scully's mind, she's lying on a bed, like her hospital bed, but in a small clearing in a forest. And the hospital room slowly fades in around her, and there's like doctors and nurses walking around. And a nurse walks by and like looks over, and she's just stops and pauses and calls to tell somebody to call Dr. Daly now. And also, I noticed, how cold was Scully be, like, lying there in that bed, not under the covers? I'm like, put her under the covers. Her poor
toes
would be
put
frozen.
A blanket over her. Fuck yeah. Hell.
Instead of just, like, leave her lying there on top. Yeah, so the nurse walks over and she sees that Scully's eyes are opening. They're, like, fluttering open and she blinks. Mulder's still going through it in his apartment. He is just sitting, bing chilling on the couch. Phone rings and the machine picks it up, but he eventually picks up the receiver and he's just like, I'm here. Like, oh, weird way to answer the phone. And he just listens and then slowly a little smile comes onto his face and it's just like, oh, he's obviously just been told that she's woken up.
Woken up, yeah.
So back at the hospital, Scully is in a room now of her own and there's flowers. Maggie's sitting there, like Melissa's there with her, and Mulder walks in with like the biggest smile on his face and it's so cute.
Yeah, he's so happy, finally.
It's so fucking
it's
cute.
Been ages since we saw him happy.
Yeah. And Maggie's just like, oh, hello, Fox. And Scully laughs on the bed and she's just like, not Fox, Mulder. And I'm like, what? Mulder.
But he's cheesy, smiling. But still, we'll take it.
Yeah, he is smiling so widely as she looks over at him, and aw, it's too cute. Mulder asks how she's feeling, and she's like, oh, like, I don't remember anything after Dwayne Barry, and Mulder's just like, it doesn't matter. It's fine. But he holds up, like, a plastic bag.
All he cares about is that she is okay.
Yeah. And he holds up a plastic bag and says that he brought her a present, and he takes out the video and shows it to her, and he's like, it's Superstars of the Super Bowl. And Scully's like, I knew there was a reason to live, and I'm like, I've missed their banner so much.
Yeah, no,
so fucking good.
Anyway, them on screen together.
Yeah, so fucking good. Mulder says, I know you want to get some rest. I just came by to see how you were doing and say hi. So like, he gives her like, hand a wee squeeze, and then like, starts to leave, and Scully calls her back, and she says, I have the strength of your beliefs. So Mulder nods and like, takes her cross out of his pocket, and Scully takes it, and Mulder says that he was holding on to this for you. And Scully's just like, oh, thank you. So Mulder smiles and like looks towards Melissa, who like gives him a wee smile back, and then he walks out. And also, like, I was like, he's had such a quick visit, but then I'm thinking realistically, if my coworker came to visit me in the hospital, like, I wouldn't expect him to stay forever. I wouldn't even expect him to come.
Yeah, I'd expect him to stay there a lot longer.
That's exactly.
They like to spend all their time together.
Yeah, they're so in love with each other. I would expect them to be there like all day until she left. Like, delusionally, I'd be like, he should be there the whole day. But realistically, I'm like, oh yeah, my ex-partner. Like, that's fine if he wants to just come by and say hi.
Yeah, they're not even partners at this point. Yeah, exactly. Think of it.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
They're literally, like, just, they work for the same company. That's it. But he's still like, oh, I just wanted to come say hi. Like, oh, bless.
Bless.
And still, he should have been there the whole fucking time.
Yeah. He should have never left our fucking bedside.
Yes. So later on, Scully touches the cross as it's sitting on her neck, and a nurse comes in and gives her a medication. Scully asks if she could see Nurse Owens. I've got something I'd like her to have. And the nurse is like, nurse who? And Scully says, it's Owens. Short, with straight, light brown hair. She watched over me in intensive care, and I'd like to thank her. And the nurse says, Dana, I've worked here for 10 years, and there's no Nurse Owens at this hospital. So she walks out, and then Scully is just kind of like left staring at the door, just like wondering, so who's Nurse Owens?
It's a bit cheesy. It's a bit like a 5-year-old writing a story.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they were dead all along. But I kind of like Nurse Owens, or a little guardian angel looking after.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It's such a good character as well.
Yeah. Parmy's so like a really rubbish plot ploy, like, it's very predictable and everything, but at the same time, I love it, I don't care.
Yeah. So yeah, and that's the end of the episode.
Actually, do you want to do our rankings?
Oh yeah.
Because we didn't do 3 or Ascension.
Oh, did we not? Oh,
no,
so we need to get
on top of this. So,
true.
Where are we? We're putting 3 at the bottom, aren't we?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, that's the core there.
Then are we putting, so, One Breath or Ascension, which one do you like better?
Ascension.
See, I'm thinking, like, One Breath, it's got, like, a lot of good shit in it, but, like, Ascension is a better episode, I think.
I was just going to say that, yeah. Ascension is a better episode.
Better.
But One Breath
do we
is
think
better
it's for better for MSR.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we think any of them are better than Host?
I can't decide.
Miller, I prefer Monster of the Week, but I'm like, these are pretty important things. So will we put them just under?
Yeah.
Will we go Host, Ascension, One Breath, then Dwayne Barry?
Well, see, I would put Dwayne Barry above them both.
Would you?
I don't know. I can't remember. It's been that long since I watched Dwayne Barry.
What happens in Dwayne Barry again, apart from Dwayne Barry referring to
it's the hostage situation, and it's how they deal with all that and everything.
And you think that's better than Ascension?
See, I can't remember.
Right, we'll leave it as it is just now. So we'll do Host, Dwayne Barry, Ascension, One Breath, and we can think about it.
Yeah,
we'll put three at the bottom there, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Do we remember our top 5 from season 1? Do you think any of these break the top 5 of season 1? So we had Squeeze, Darkness Falls, Ice, Pilot, and Tombs.
No.
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 Nah, not even the myth arc. Like, I don't know. Maybe some of the myth arc would go above the monsters of the week we've got here on the top 5, but I just really love those season 1 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, season 1 are breaking it for me yet. Yeah.
Top tier.
It was top tier. So far, we've got Host, Dwayne Barry, Ascension, One Breath, Little Green Men, Blood, Sleepers, and 3. Okay, are you ready to do The Fans Are Out There?
So at Alessia Bori says, I love that she wakes up and he is so happy to see her, but also a bit shy.
Yeah.
And Maggie and Melissa call him Fox, and Scully corrects them, it's Mulder. So cute. And of course, before Melissa, why is it so dark in here? Because the lights aren't on. But yeah.
I'm surprised when she said, like, I can see you're in a dark place. He didn't be like, yeah, the lights are off again. Like, I'm surprised he didn't just drive that fucking home.
Yeah. So at Mulder_jeans says, One Breath is the best ep, that's my thoughts. All in caps.
Fair.
Yeah. And then goes on to say that, sorry I've been so bad at keeping up with you ladies, and that's fine.
I'm also behind on my podcasts.
Yeah.
I plan to like binge lots over the Christmas break.
Me too, yeah. And then goes on to say that the parking garage scene yelling between Mulder and X in this episode is so good. God, I love this episode.
That is good. I love when X just like tosses him against the wall and starts telling him how it is.
Yeah.
He really does not give a fuck.
Yeah. And it's good for Mulder to have that little reality check every now and then.
Yeah. Just I mean, like, he gets constantly, everywhere he goes, like Scully, Skinner, X, like... Yeah. He's always getting put in his place.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And at PGS Posts says, my thought is that it's impossible to step away from the romance of Mulder giving up learning about the truth to sit by her bedside for Scully finding the strength to keep living for him. Impossible to go back to normal as if nothing happened, and yet they do. Good points.
It's so annoying that they go back to normal as if nothing fucking happened.
Yeah. Like, all right, okay, let's move on. Let's move on from this, like, life-altering experience.
Most frustrating thing about the bloody X-Files.
And at Luminous Pie 1 says, one of the finest episodes and an acting tour de force from David. Very true.
Yeah, he really gets a chance to actually act, so.
Yeah, what's it they call it?
Mulder's usually just, like, witty comments.
Acting chops or something.
Oh, yeah, acting chops, yeah.
Acting
chops, so. No, he did pretty good in this.
Yeah.
I feel like he's better in, like, I'm trying to think of what's a good David episode. Paper Hearts. Paper Hearts is like a good David episode. What else? Can't think of anything else off the top of my head, but I know there are more. Like, for emotional scenes. Like, I feel like all the comedy ones, he always hits it out of the park.
Yeah.
But I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. Like, emotional. There's definitely ones, though. I've had too much wine to think, but yeah.
The Field Where We Died? Was that a good one? I've only ever watched that. Like, acting-wise?
Parts of it are, but there's, like, the whole, like, the regression thing, I just find cheesy as hell, and I do not think it's good acting whatsoever. But there are other parts in it where I'm like, that is really good acting from him. But it's just that whole regression scene where I'm just like, this is not good.
Yeah.
Come at me for that if you want, but I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm just like, nah. I get, like, secondhand cringe.
Yeah, it's the like, the digression or, like, the hypnosis scenes in general. I just, like, I can't watch it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, all the hypnosis scenes actually in X-Files, I was like, nope.
Because what's the other one? It's the one that Scully does. Is it the red and the black or something?
Yeah, and she sounds like she's fucking having an orgasm. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and I'm like, I can't watch it.
Oh.
I can't do it.
Not for me.
Oh, yes. All right, I found the poll. The poll's popped up.
Oh, it's quite close. We will probably have to redo this on, not redo it, but, like, give the results again once it closes.
Yeah. Oh, 28 votes. That's quite a lot in that space of time.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I just posted it when we started recording this episode.
Okay, so Mulder subreddit, am I the asshole? I slept with a hot vampire whilst my colleague slash life partner was missing, abducted by aliens, in brackets, and I didn't know if she was ever coming back. Am I the asshole? So yes, said 46%, and no was 54%.
Quite close.
So Kathy G. says, NTA, I'm assuming that's not the asshole?
Yeah.
You just needed some comfort, and colleague slash life partner is a really ambiguous kind of relationship anyway, so ..
True. Very
fair
true.
Fair enough.
Only facts are spoken by Kathy G.
Yes.
Kathy G.
The word is scripture.
Yes. No one argue with Kathy G.
No.
She has the deciding will.
She does. At Okaboji1 says, disagree, vampire is not hot.
Okay.
I apologize if I butcher this. Mm-hmm. But at Romongelos? At Romongelos? Makes sense,
Rom underscore M?
Oh, yeah. Maybe you go with that. Rom underscore M, says, no, you basically felt like a vampire, an empty soulless body without Scully, so you subconsciously wanted to die.
Nice.
And don't worry, Scully will have her revenge on someone named Ed when she's the one feeling lifeless.
Yes.
So at Fern Delavan, just put like a laughing emoji. So they find that funny.
I say not the asshole because, like I've said multiple times before, I think it's just strange that Scully and Mulder never have any other outside relationships.
Ah, it's weird.
Just like, meh. They're not technically together, so why not sleep with other people? Like, you know what I mean? If you're not going to have them together properly, what does it fucking matter?
So, exactly,
I don't care. He was
I agree. It's not the asshole. Like,
that was that.
Yeah, like, they're both adults. They're not together. So it doesn't matter. So,
oh, we just had a last minute comment.
Well, I was just going to say that, yeah. So I'm just going to say BB rather than reading out all the numbers. It says, I love the UST of this episode. It has Mulder raging to advocate for Scully, Scully's mum and sister, and Scully coming back to us. It has it all. It's up there as one of my favourites, early season 2, and the connection is cemented. I agree.
Yes. Such a good episode to show just how far they've come.
Yeah. That's why I agree that it's a better episode, Mulder and Scully, like, character-centric episode, compared to Ascension, whereas Ascension's more plot driven.
Yeah.
So I feel like you can't really compare the two, so I would keep them together.
Yeah.
But I also That's feel fair. Like Dwayne Barry had like a mix of both. They had like the plot, but also had like Scully swooping in and being like, yo, Mulder, I need to save him from, because he's got it wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah, it works. They both work in both ways.
So remember, you can follow us on Twitter at The MSR Files Pod, or you can follow us on TikTok or Instagram at The MSR Files Podcast. And if you want to email us, where you can send in your own spooky stories, you can email us on The MSR Files Podcast at gmail.com. Join us next time when we discuss Firewalker, which is a personal favourite of mine. I fucking love it.
Firewalker Man.
Firewalker Man.
Fireball. Something to think of it.
Oh dear. Yes. What's his name? A personal favourite of mine. I mean, I love the episode anyway. It's not just because of him, but oh my god, what's his name? Why do I always blank on actors' names as soon as I have to think about them?
It's the Firewalker Man.
Yeah, but the Firewalker guy.
Yeah, I can't
Commander
remember
Lawrence in The Handmaid's Tale. What is his fucking name? I know his name. I always know his name. My mom asks me all the time what his name is. I fucking tell her every time, and I'm like, how many times do I need to tell you? And I can't remember it.
The Firewalker, The X-Files. It's such a good fucking episode.
Probably, it's so good. Bradley Whitford.
Yep.
Bradley Whitford.
I knew it was fucking Whitford something. Love. I can't remember.
Yeah, I knew. I could see the W in my head, and I was just like, what goes with this? Bradley Whitford. Love Bradley Whitford. So yeah, join us for that. I feel like a lot of people don't like this episode, but I fucking love it. It's got very like ice feels because they're like deserted in this place, like they're stuck there.
Yeah.
And they're like stuck with other people as well, so they've got like a new dynamic to try work out. So good. And we've got like the Canadian tuxedo Mulder. So good.
Yeah, it's basically ice but switched for fire.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good. Oh, I love
it. Yeah. If only this had been called fire and fire didn't exist.
Yeah.
So just like ice and fire.
Yep.
But yeah, join us next time for that. See you next time. Bye.
See ya. Yeah.